I want to begin this morning by telling you about a phrase that's in the Torah that we have heard, but in a completely different context from the way we hear it this morning. And also the idea that, in fact, in the commentators that I saw, there really is no good explanation of what that phrase is doing there. It says, you shouldn't abhor. That means hate, basically, I think is a good synonym. You shouldn't abhor an Egyptian. Why? Because you were strangers in his land. Now, we've heard this phrase before, right? You should treat the strangers well. Why? Because you were strangers in the land of Egypt. In other words, the Torah tells us that we were strangers so that we understand what it is to be a stranger. When you walk into a group and you're the person on the outside, you know what that feels like. Not only do you know what it feels like because everybody's had that experience, but because it's in our spiritual DNA, it's in our genes. We remember what it was like to be strangers in the land of Egypt. And therefore, if you're part of the in-group, if you're part of the group that has, you have to be kind to the one that doesn't, because we remember what it is to be a stranger. And so, Jews pride themselves on understanding what it is to be an outsider. Ki geirim hayitem be'eretz Mitzrayim, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. But this morning, the Torah portion says something completely different. It says, don't hate the Egyptians, because you were strangers in their land. Now, we weren't just strangers in their land. We were slaves in their land. How can you not abhor them? How can you not detest them? How can you not hate them? And yet, the Torah says don't hate them. So the commentators try to figure out, why are we not supposed to hate the Egyptians? And they answer, because after all, they also fed you. They also took care of you. There were other parts of the relationship. Remember, Joseph was the viceroy of Egypt. There were good times before slavery. But when I read this, it seemed to me like I was reading about how you should tell the cow, you know, you should thank the person who's about to slaughter you because he fed you, right? He kept you in his stall. So, okay, it didn't end well. But up to the moment where he slaughtered you, he treated you very nicely. But how could you possibly be grateful to the Egyptians? So big deal, they kept us around until we were slaves. And then it took a lot to get them to let us go. So I thought that perhaps it's trying to teach a different lesson, an important lesson. What does it mean to be a stranger in someone else's land? What it means is to observe a culture that is other than yours. And the natural inclination of people when they first go to a strange place is to disapprove. I don't like the way they do things here. Why do they do things this way? Why don't they do things that way? How come I can't get the food that I get at home? Why is the place not what I expected? Why is the weather here so bad? Why aren't the hotels like the hotels back home? In other words, when we travel, we want to find Los Angeles in the Ukraine. Right? How come they don't even speak English here, for God's sakes? How can you actually run a hotel and not have English? The first reaction that human beings have is to dislike the other. But we were strangers in the land of Egypt. Not for a week, not for a month, not for a year, but for a long time, for hundreds of years. Long enough to appreciate that even though the Egyptians were cruel to us, even though their culture was different, there was great beauty about Egyptian culture. How do we know that the Israelites felt that? Because God says to them, you are not allowed to go back to the land of Egypt. Now, why did they want to go back? Because even though Egypt began as strange, it became familiar. And they grew to love that which was different. Because if you want to grow to love that which is different, you have to live with it and listen to it. And in time, you'll discover that even in Egypt, there is a great deal to love. And although they may be cruel, you shouldn't hate them in their hearts because they have a different mentality, a different world, but it has its own coherence and its own beauty. Doesn't mean you have to live like an Egyptian. It doesn't mean you have to approve of the way that they live. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't fight against them when you need to. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't leave and flee and create your own world, but you shouldn't hate them. So I began to apply this to other areas of life. And I thought I would move in three concentric circles. Let's start with other Jews. I know Jews who walk into a different synagogue and they hate it. Because it's not like their synagogue. Either men and women sit together or they don't. Either way, they hate it. Either the rabbi talks like my rabbi or he doesn't. Either way, they hate it. The prayer book is different. The tunes are different. Whatever it is, the ideology is different. But my feeling is, you know what Yitz Greenberg, the wonderful Orthodox rabbi, once said? He said, I don't care what denomination of Judaism you belong to, as long as you're ashamed of it. You just should be ashamed of whatever it is about your own denomination that's not good, but every denomination has something to be ashamed of. It's ridiculous to think all goodness and all merit and all wonder is in our form of Judaism and there's none in theirs. I'm always looking to learn, for example, from rabbis from other movements. Reform, conservative, Orthodox, Reconstructionist, I don't care, they all have insights. And by the way, the same thing is true of other religions. It's perfectly legitimate to learn from a sage in Islam, Christianity, Buddhism, Sikh, Confucianism, Taoism. If somebody says something beautiful and important, just remember, the Rambam built his entire philosophy on Aristotle, and Aristotle was a pagan. He didn't even believe in one God. Or he sort of did. But I figure if Rambam can learn from outside the Jewish tradition, then surely we can. And that doesn't mean that you're going to convert. It just means that as a human being, nothing should be completely alien to us. That when we see something that human beings have done that seems completely different, we have to understand that there is a kinship there, that you must not hate the Egyptian in your heart. Whether the Egyptian is someone close to you or someone far away. Now let's broaden it. Let's talk about the campaign. Which campaign, Miles says. You're worried, aren't you? I know you're worried right now. What's he going to say? What's the rabbi going to say? We've had this discussion. I don't care which side you're on. What I care about is the way in which you speak about the people on the other side. When I listen to partisans of each side, it's as though all goodness, all rectitude, all wisdom, all experience, all good nobility, all wonder is on our side. And those guys, really, they're secret agents who want to destroy the country in the guise of political candidates. So that what I hear is how on every single issue, my side is correct. And I want to tell you, it's not humanly possible. Nobody can be right about everything. Just can't happen. What I really want to hear is a partisan of one side say, I think you should elect my guy. and you should elect him because of this, 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 and this. But I must say, the other guy has a very good idea about this. And I wish my guy would change and agree with that, because actually on this issue, I think the other guy's right. But it's almost as if we feel if we give the tiniest concession to the wisdom of someone else, everything will fall apart. And I want you to know that there's a name for that. It's called insecurity. Insecurity. You're insecure if you can't give someone else the right to be right. It's not that you're secure. It's not that you're certain. It's that you're afraid that your structure is so fragile that if you take out one brick, everything's going to fall down. And so it's easier to just abhor the Egyptian, to say the one who is different from me is hateful and the one who is like me is perfect. Now I'm going to broaden it even more to move to other countries. We have enemies in the world. They're real enemies. They really do wish us harm. But they're not always wrong. We're not always right. We've done bad things in the world as Americans. The United States has sometimes gone abroad and messed where it shouldn't and done terrible mischief. Sometimes with good intentions, sometimes with not such good intentions. And to say that is not to concede that the United States isn't a wonderful country, or that it shouldn't be preserved, or that you shouldn't fight for it. It's to recognize that no one and nothing is perfect. And equally, no one and nothing is pure evil. No one and nothing. Now, there are relative measures, obviously. There are some regimes that it doesn't matter what good they do, you have to fight them to the very end. Communism, Nazism, we have perfect examples in the 20th century. But most people, most religions, most candidates, most countries, they're trying to muddle through life the best they can, just as we are. And therefore, if you are wise, you look to them for what they can teach you as well. Right? The Baal Shem Tov said, when you see a fault in someone else, understand that fault is a mirror. It's in you. That's why you're seeing it in someone else. Because if you didn't have something inside yourself that understood it, you wouldn't be able to see it in someone else. And therefore, when we as a nation see faults in other nations, it also should be a mirror. When, as political partisans, we see faults in other candidates, it should be a mirror. And instead of turning us instantly to hatred of the other, it should, especially at this time of year, on Rosh Hashanah, it should turn us to examination of ourselves, to the way in which we can understand from what we see as the faults and the shortcomings of the other. Because if we're told not to hate Egyptians in our hearts, I mean, realize what that's saying in the Bible. The Egyptians of all people. If the Torah said, don't hate the Edomites, okay, I understand. Don't hate the Midianites, all right. But the Egyptians were told not to hate. The ones who enslaved us and killed us and wouldn't let us go, it's a way of saying, even in those people whom you most object to, who you keep farthest from yourself, there still is something that you can learn. Edwin Markham was an English poet, wrote a beautiful little poem called Outwitted. It goes like this. He drew a circle to shut me out. Heretic, rebel, a thing to flout. But love and I had the wit to win. We drew a circle that put him in. So that's our task. Our task isn't to respond to someone else's exclusion by excluding them back. Our task is to remember that we and love have the wit to win. We can draw a circle that brings them in. Shabbat Shalom.